This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Do or die.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Today's the deadline for GM and Chrysler to tell the government how they'll repay taxpayers and become viable again. GM took more than $9 billion in government loans last year. Chrysler got $4 billion. But it looks like the restructuring plans still need some work. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
Both GM and Chrysler are living on borrowed billions in government aid. Both are asking for even more money. To get it, though, they have to show the Treasury Department that they have a plan to cut costs and pay the government back. To do that, GM needs more concessions from its creditors and union workers. Talks with the United Auto Workers broke down over retiree health benefits. Negotiations reportedly went into the night, but it doesn't look like a deal will come today. Either way, University of San Francisco professor John Fisher doubts GM or Chrysler can become profitable.
I think the only way to truly restructure these companies is to protect them in bankruptcy and fundamentally realign cost structures.
As part of the original agreement, the government is expected to release an additional $4 billion in aid today for GM and $3 billion for Chrysler. Final restructuring plans must be in place by the end of March. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Meantime, President Obama will sign that near $800 billion stimulus bill that passed Congress last week. There's a ceremony scheduled in Denver today. In Japan, the finance minister there, Shoichi Nakagawa, resigned after the opposition party accused him of being drunk at a G7 news conference. Japan's Nikkei fell by 1.3%. Hong Kong was off by nearly 4%. Stocks were down across the board in Asia. Major indices are down about an average of 1.5% there. The Dow is at 7850, its lowest level since November. Investors not happy last week with the few details they got about the second half of that rescue money. The S&P lost nearly 5%. We're going to hear from Walmart today. The retail giant releases quarterly earnings before the opening bell. And while it's seen a bit of a slowdown in this economic fallout, it's still been a bright spot in an otherwise lousy industry. And it's actually boosted its advertising budget to keep consumers walking through their doors. Danielle Carson reports.
Just about every retailer is slashing prices and cutting inventory. Most have scaled back their advertising, except Walmart, which is shelling out millions. But retail analyst Howard Davidowitz says it's small potatoes.
As a percentage of sales, Walmart is a very small advertiser. 300 million sounds like a big number, but they're doing 300 billion. It's a very teeny number.
Retail numbers show consumers are pretty much just spending to put food on the table and clothes on their backs. Davidowitz says that's what's keeping Walmart's books in the black.
They sell tons of food, and they have a strong price image, and they are perfectly positioned for this economy, and they sell what you have to have cheap. That's what's winning.
Davidowitz warns Walmart's strength could be a weakness down the road. Many of its customers are poor, and a long recession could hurt their buying power. I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
It's no secret that people are choosing to have a cell phone instead of their landline. Well, last year, Verizon lost more than 3.5 million access lines, 9% of its base. So the company's looking to get subscribers back. The Wall Street Journal reports Verizon may begin offering a landline for $5 a month. The services would be pretty limited. It would allow users to receive calls, but dial only to 911. Verizon's also considering a $10 monthly plan that would allow some local calls.
Thank you. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers.
There was a time when people ate out a lot, but those were days when consumers had a little more money in their pockets. Today, home cooking seems to be the in thing. But there's a problem with that. There are a whole lot of folks who don't know how to cook. That's good news for, you guessed it, cooking schools. From Portland, Oregon, here's Sadie Babbitts.
Valerie Edwards makes a living telling people what to eat. She's a dietitian and she's a foodie. But since the recession hit...
Well, I've definitely been eating out less, and I've gotten more interested in cooking again.
She's dug into her cookbooks and found she wants to learn more.
I wanted some more skills and creativity for my dishes. I tend to make things too simple and I'm not creative enough about blending flavors together.
So Edwards turned to Hip Cooks. This is a new funky cooking school in Portland. Monica Retti owns Hip Cooks. She thought when the economy turned south, she'd have to cut back on what she offers. Instead, the opposite has happened.
I think as people are realizing that going out to eat is not just expensive, but sometimes not as delicious or not as healthy as cooking at home, they are coming to me to learn how in droves.
And who better to teach cooking skills in a down economy than Retti? She's an economist who used to work for the Rand Corporation. Among the new classes she's adding, gourmet on a shoestring and brown bagging it.
We cook all the lunches for a week, and so that's really fun to learn what could you cook on a Sunday that's still good to eat on Friday.
Hip Cooks isn't the only cooking school seeing a jump in attendance. Most around Portland are, including In Good Taste.
Let's talk about some of these meats. Don't fawn on them too much. Because we're all going to eat them.
On this night, guest chef Ben Dyer talks about less expensive meat cuts like flank steak.
Because in these economic times, people are looking to kind of make what they eat a little less expensive so they can feed their family a little more easily.
Cooking classes like this one will likely continue to sizzle as more jobs are slated for the chopping block. In Portland, Oregon, I'm Sadie Babbitts for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us at our website and share your thoughts with us and see the thoughts of our online blogger and host, Scott Jagow, inside Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.